active response that is negative from those that have it, and then a response from those that don't have it as if it's, you know, weird, non-existent. I've heard it called emotionalism. I've heard it called devil. Mm-hmm. In fact, the church I used to go to, if you got the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, they call it the cackling of a chicken. They take you back in the back room and cast it out of you. Thank God that they cast me out of the church. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about that today. So let's start in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and let's start from seven, mm-hmm. Down to verse 11.
All right. It says there, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man sovereignly as he will."
The gift of tongues. This talks about diverse tongues. It means that there's many. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to, I guess we'll just first jump into it. Let's go to Acts 2, 1 through 4, and start establishing. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus spoke in John, the 7th chapter, that said, "Out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water." Mm-hmm. This spake he about the Holy Ghost, or them receiving the Holy Ghost, but they couldn't do it because he wasn't yet glorified. Uh-huh. But he did specifically say, "Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water."
Right.
And so in Acts 2, 1 through 4, Kylan, let's read that. There are 120 people in the upper room, mm-hmm. and they're there seeking God. And so let's start in verse 1 and go down through 4.
It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to be unto them cloven tongues as of fire, as it sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance."
As the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's kind of verify that this, because a lot of people, I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I have the Holy Ghost because, you know, I walk in love and I walk in kindness." But they think that the fruits of the Spirit are mm-hmm. the fruits of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And then the Holy Ghost does not produce that fruit. We produce that mm-hmm. fruit as new creations.
Yes.
Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits." Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know the Holy Ghost by his fruits.
Right.
And we do know if the work has been done because a fruit appears. But let's go to Acts 19, and this is Paul, and he's coming from Ephesus, and he runs into some men that are from Ephesus, and he asked them a very profound question, I think, and they were not able to answer it. And so then he preaches to them Jesus Christ. Let's go from 1 down through 6.
All right, Acts 19, 1 through 6. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passed through the upper coast and came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?' And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.' And he said unto them, 'Unto what then were ye baptized?' And they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' Then said Paul, 'John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.'"
So here we see a great misconception that is taught in the body of Christ, that we get the Holy Ghost when we believe, when in actuality we receive a work mm-hmm. of the Holy Ghost, which is the renovation, the recreated human spirit. That is the work of the Holy Ghost, but it's not the person of the Holy Ghost.
At that moment, you're marked with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You're marked as God's.
Yes. As God's children.
Yes.
And you have authority. Mm-hmm. You can use that name. You can get answered prayer. You can do all those things.
Right.
But the gifts of the Spirit are not going to function as they are designed to function. But Paul says, have you received the Holy Ghost? Why would that have been questioned? Why couldn't he just said, hey, man, we're glad you're saved, man.
Right.
Shout the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Paul evidently must have thought that it was expedient, very necessary for a believer to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And so what Paul does is down here in verse 6, he shows us a pattern of how people receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, when he had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking in tongues and prophesying were verification, but the majority of the time that in the scriptures is that they spake with tongues.
Right, as we saw in Acts 2 at the beginning.
Right.
When the Holy Ghost came upon them, cloven tongues of fire, and they spoke with other tongues.
You're right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And how would they have known if they had received the Holy Ghost unless there was some evidence?
Right.
And why would we think that we need less evidence than what they needed then?
Mm-hmm.
We need the same evidence. If the Holy Ghost doesn't change, we need it. So here we got 12 people. In the book of Acts, we got 120 people. And if we look at, let's go to Acts the 8th chapter. And it's just relevant that we build this in our life because there are just so many attacks against it.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you read that, Kylan?
Acts 8, starting verse 1.
Yeah. Let's go down further. Philip is there and he's having revival. And let's go down to where the apostles come, which is, let me see.
14?
Yeah. Read verse 14.
All right, Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Now here again, that they have been born again, they've received the gospel, they believed the gospel, and that is the criteria for the work of the Holy Ghost. And so then, after they've been born again, Peter comes down, and they lay their hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So evidently, they believed that it was something different than the new birth.
Right.
And when we look in the book of Acts, we see two things. It says, where you read that the Holy Ghost filled the house. Whatever was in that house was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then they were born again. Because in essence, no disciple was ever born again because Jesus had not redeemed man yet. So they were followers of Christ, but they were not in the sense that God wanted man redeemed and born again. When Jesus resurrected, he said, go and you'll receive power.
Yeah.
And so they went, they were born again, and then cloven tongues of fire appeared to them, and then they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Right.
So you see the work of the Holy Ghost is one is baptizing people into Christ Jesus, sonship, new creation, and then you see the Holy Ghost entering that vessel.
Right.
And in this scripture right here, it just shows us that, you know, they're coming down. Now, the question I would have is this. How could you, in this short period of time, differentiate who had it and who didn't?
The evidence of it.
The evidence of it.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go to chapter 9, Acts 9, and let's start in verse 10.
Right, Acts 9, 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said, the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man and how much evil he has done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized.
Ananias is very leery of this Saul of Tarsus. How would Ananias know? Of course, if you know, you might receive your sight, he sees. That's the evidence that God has done what Ananias sent him to do. What was the evidence that this scoundrel, chief of all sinners, heralding people to their death for the faith of Christ Jesus, how did this Ananias know that what God sent him there had been accomplished?
Well, first of all, it's not going to be by the fruit of the Spirit, because he can't prove that in a couple seconds, right?
Nope, can't
prove
that.
But it's going to be the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which speaking in tongues and so forth.
That is a great point. He'd only been born again for 3 days.
Even
a drunk isn't sober after 3 days. It's still in his system. And so here Paul is, Ananias is looking at him and say, okay, I see that God's healed your eyes, but how do I know you got the Holy Ghost? And that was the evidence. And Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter. He said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than all of you. And so evidently, as Paul asked, have you received the Holy Ghost? He knew what the evidence of that Holy Ghost was. I don't think Paul would have said, well, you know, I see you guys didn't speak in tongues, but, well, you know, maybe maybe God's just doing a new deal here.
Right.
He didn't say that.
Right.
He expected them that when I lay my hands on you, something's going to happen. I'll know because I'll have evidence of it. Now, let's go back to Acts, the second chapter. Because in this, when we talk about speaking in tongues, immediately people say, well, they spoke in other languages, other earthly languages.
Right.
But if we go down to, let's go to verse 5, Kyle, and start reading down.
All right, Acts 2, verse 5.
Yeah.
And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, aren't all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in with our own tongue wherein we were born?
Now, people would say, well, they spoke in languages. But the key here is that we hear them all speak in our language. Right. In other words, if you were a Persian, you heard these men speaking a Persian dialect. Now, they would say, well, they were all speaking a language. But if you go down to verse 9, you see all the different types of people that were there. So they wouldn't have, if they were speaking in somebody's dialect and they heard, notice what it says, every man in our language. Not, well, I went here and I heard him talking, then I went down here and I said, oh, well, my word, this isn't my crowd. I got to go back up here. No, they heard every man speaking simultaneously in their language. So it couldn't have been a national language. Couldn't have been their birthland language. It would have been a supernatural language. But more than that, They heard.
Right.
They heard. This is not the first time that God does miracles by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
David heard the mulberry bush. 2 Kings, they heard the four lepers, instead of dragging their feet and stumbling along, mm-hmm. they heard the Egyptian army.
Yeah.
So God is able to touch our hearing
mm-hmm.
and hear more so than what the speaking in tongues, which they spake as the Spirit gave mm-hmm. them utterance. And here it says that every man heard them in their own tongue.
Yeah.
That was the miracle, was that they heard these men. In
right.
other words, when they spoke, they were hearing their own language.
Yeah. And the overall symbolic thing that happens here is, you know, Jesus said, you receive this, you're going to go to the world. This was symbolic of, now this is for every man.
Yeah.
All languages, all nations, this is for everybody. The gospel and the infilling is for everybody.
Yes.
That's the overarching symbolism of what happened
right
at that
there.
Moment.
Yeah. It shows that, you know, the gospel will go any place and it mm-hmm. will be received
mm-hmm.
in any place. And these were Jewish converts, so I'm sure that in this feast time that many of them may have been there crying, crucify him, crucify him, because that's what the high priests were saying.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, politics was playing a part.
Mm-hmm.
And but these men probably were known for being associated with different synagogues in different countries,
mm-hmm.
helping expand Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And so these men were not just, well, we don't know what we believe. They knew
right.
what they believed, mm-hmm. and they were in opposition.
Yeah.
But when it came and noised abroad, they wanted to say, hey, we want to hear this. So they hear them speak the marvelous things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this evidently couldn't have been what we would call, well, you know, somebody, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get your prayer language.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way that people say that.
Yeah.
But if we look at this verse, and then if we go over to Acts, the 10th chapter, where Cornelius, Peter is preaching to the first Gentiles, and if you go to Acts 10, 44, Kylan, down through 48,
all right, it says there, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they prayed that they would, then prayed that they him to tarry certain days.
Now, Peter didn't say we heard them praying to God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Right.
When we say, well, you received your prayer language, that could not be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the day of Pentecost, they didn't receive a prayer language.
Right.
They received an utterance that preached the gospel.
Right.
And then here it says that we heard them magnify God.
Right.
And so, but Peter recognized this is the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
This is not of their language. This is a supernatural
right.
language. So now we have this quandary of, well, if I get filled with the Holy Ghost, do I magnify God? Am I talking in other languages? And where is my prayer language?
Uh-huh.
Well, sometimes what people call, and I looked this up this morning, it is called the evidential. When we get born again, we receive evidence
mm-hmm.
that the Holy Ghost is in them. You know, have you received the Holy Ghost? Well, we don't know. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you kinder to your mother-in-law? Yeah. Oh, well, you must have it. No, that wasn't it. It was the evidence of speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, there is an evidential, in other words, a basis of evidence that is an adjective that shows or defines the previous word. So if we received the tongue, we would receive an evidential tongue.
Mm-hmm.
We don't receive a prayer language.
Mm-hmm.
Because right here, Cornelius did not receive a prayer language.
Right. Yeah. Magnified
and
God.
On the day of Pentecost, They didn't receive a prayer language.
Right.
And here is the crippling fact about speaking in tongues. When we teach error like that, what we do is we tell people that they have something, which they do have the Holy Ghost. They have had an evidential experience. This is evidence. And based on the facts that this is what happens when a person receives the Holy Ghost, I have received it. And so it's an evidential tongue that they've received that is evidence that they've received the Holy Ghost. And it's not supposed to stop there. It is evidence that there are eight other gifts on the inside of you.
Right.
And then this evidential language is not a prayer language. Now you're all freaked out, aren't you? Well, I thought I had prayer language. No, no. You have an evidential supply of an utterance that has nothing to do with your prayer language. It may have to do with something else. It may have to do that you're magnifying God. But it doesn't say any place in the Bible that when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you received your prayer language. But now Paul does in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We can go there, Kylan. He does give us the difference that when you're praying in the natural, but that you could also pray in the spiritual, and that would be, let me see. Sorry about that. We're kind of throwing this in here. How about, okay, verse 14.
All right. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
And so there we see that Paul did pray. He says, I will pray in the spirit. And of course, if we looked at all of the meanings of prayer, prayer is praise, magnifying. So I guess you could say that. But it would not be in the case of requesting something from God.
Right.
And so Paul says, look, I can pray in the spirit. And then in verse 16, it says, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, probably talking about food, and seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. So here it says, thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So Paul says, look, I can pray for my food. So there is that prayer language that the Holy Ghost provides, but it has nothing to do with the evidential initial utterance that a person receives. Because we've seen in Cornelius, he wasn't praying. He was magnifying God. And then in chapter 2, we saw that when they were speaking in an unknown tongue, they were preaching. So neither one of them prayed. But we have come up with this new theology. It's in Crazy 101. We came up with our own theology, and we tell everybody when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you receive your prayer language, which is not true at all. It's just not true. So then we see people 20 years later saying the very same thing. Now, they may be magnifying God. They may be preaching the gospel. I don't know, but you say, well, God interprets what's in your tongue. Really? The Bible says in Numbers, 14th chapter, I'll give them what they say out of their mouth.
Right.
So God doesn't interpret what he wants to hear out of your mouth. He hears what comes out of your mouth.
Right.
Wow. Boy, we're messing the stew pot now.
Right.
But I just wonder, how far from the tree do we get before we realize that we are raising a generation that may have been totally disconnected from intercession and praying about things that they could have been praying about when they're still using an evidential tongue and they're speaking like children instead of speaking like skilled men and women, like Paul said, I can pray in the Holy Ghost about something and I can pray in the Spirit.
Right.
He said, I can pray. I know what I'm praying about in the natural, and I can pray in the Spirit specifically for things. And then he says, you know what? I can even bless my food in the Holy Ghost if I want. Now, evidently, he would have to say, you know, Holy Ghost, I'm going to bless this food. Please give me the utterance.
Right.
He didn't go, well, I think I'll pray in that tongue that I prayed, you know, over there when Ananias come. That's not, no, right. No. But see, that's what we've been taught. We have crippled a whole generation, maybe multitudes of generations, by crazy 101. When, look, we aren't crazy. Just read the Bible.
Right.
I hear this all the time. Well, you know, I cast a spirit of epilepsy out of somebody. I say, really? Yeah, you know that spirit in Mark, the 9th chapter? That wasn't the spirit of epilepsy. It was the spirit of deaf and dumbness. The spirit of epilepsy is not even in the Bible. And it's certainly not a spirit. And so, I don't know why. I do not know why we can't read the Bible.
Now,
when
I first got saved,
it said, look, let's read the Bible. Right here is your walk. This is how you know God and do what God wants you to do.
Yeah. Where that would come from, 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edify himself. That's where the prayer language, verses like that, where they would draw that from.
Yes.
But that's just a portion, a part of the evidence and then the glorification of God and the things that the tongues will do. But it's not the only,
it's
the boxed
not
in.
The only.
This
no.
Is, this is primarily what it's for, is to edify you.
Right. And there, Paul says, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Of course, he's constantly reminding him, God dwells in me. I am in God. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I have an inheritance. But he may be magnifying God. But Paul doesn't say over here in verse 14, 15, 16, well, when I'm blessing my food, I'm just edified. And sometimes I just get so edified I don't have to eat. No. He says, no, I'm going to pray for my food. So he can't be edifying himself, kind of. So this, like you said, is absolutely right. A portion. And when we talk about edifying ourselves, the Bible says that when he that prayeth in an unknown tongue, if there's not an interpreter there, let him stay silent and either speak to God or speak to himself. Now, that tells me something. That when you're speaking in tongues, you know the difference of a tongue that speaks to God than speaking to yourself. You aren't God. So there has to be somebody. You have to know the difference. And if there is no interpreter, well, that would mean that you could speak with a tongue that you knew was going to be interpreted. And if that interpreter wasn't there, you would withhold that tongue. The Spirit is subject to the prophet. And then you could speak to God, your choice, or to yourself. Wow. We're moving up to first grade right now. So we're going to be continuing this next week. And, you know, you can watch this 1,000 times and you'll keep learning. Because I'm telling you, every time I read the scripture, I think, man, oh, man, where was my mind when I was preaching what I was preaching? You know, the depth of God. Do you realize that one letter in God formulates itself into the language, the imagery, and identification of God? One letter. That's all that it takes, is one letter. And if you go into Hebrew language, that one letter may run through, and the number of that letter and how it's structured may run clear through the Bible and foretell the things that God is going to do. And so, you know, we need to, you know, just listen to what the Bible's saying. It's so easy. Look, a child could understand. That's my advantage, is that I have the mind of a child. That's my benefit. That's my advantage over everybody else. My mind is not formed yet. It's still working on me. My wife always said, are you half-minded? Yes, I am half-minded. Listen. We're going to see you next week. Kylan, will you pray for these people?
Sure. Lord, I thank you, first of all, for everybody watching, Lord, that today that they stir themselves up in you, and Lord, that you meet with them and you encourage them and love on them, Lord, and yes. You lead them, you guide them, grant them wisdom. But I pray, Lord, that they stir themselves up in the gifts also, Lord. They know and they believe that it can be used by you as you distribute gifts to them, Lord, to take the gospel to the world, to impact people's lives, to further the kingdom of God. And we believe that, yes. Lord, that we are people yes. that are advanced in the kingdom of God in you for your glory. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen. Hey, we'll see you Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. God bless. Bye-bye.